Such a sweet presence of the Lord today. I know God doesn't do anything by accident. And even as Pastor Steve was having you visualize the Lord in whatever area it is that you are needing today, listen to the verse that he gave me to share this morning. And my God shall supply all your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. And as he was saying this morning, what is your need this morning? Is it financial? He will supply all your need. And you know what the verse says in the Bible too in the New Testament? He will do exceedingly and abundantly above. So you have your need in your mind and the Lord saying, oh, I got that, but I got all this too. And I feel like we're going to stray a little tiny bit from tithes and offerings because this covers your finances too. But I sense this morning a weight. And I just want you to close your eyes. And we're just going to spend a few moments with the Lord right now. And I want you to see whatever it was when Pastor Steve was talking about giving those things to the Lord and he is able. I just want you to see that circumstance, whether it's family or it's your finances or it's your health or it's your job, or your kids, whatever it is, I want you to see that thing. And then I want you to see the presence of the Lord, literally, the angels, the host of angels, just coming and surrounding that thing. And then whatever needs to change, whether it's a miracle, a breakthrough, I just want you to see in Jesus' name what it would be like to have that thing supernaturally met. Because that is how the Lord sees it this morning. He sees it accomplished. And that's how we need to begin seeing it. So when the phone call comes or the thing with your kid rises up or maybe there's something in your finances that flares or maybe it's been a long-standing thing that you're just like, man, when is this ever going to change? It is changed in Jesus' name. Because this word says, my God will, shall, it is done. It is done. He will supply all your need, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, in your family, in your job, whatever that need is today, the Lord is meeting that need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can open your eyes. You don't have to walk out of here with a weight. It says when you come into the presence of the Lord, you can't help but leave different, right? You can't come into his presence and not leave different. So if there's something weighing on you today, you can walk out of here with the knowledge that your God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above. He is able to take care of every need. In my mind right now, there's all these stories that I can think of in the Bible of times when people had need and the Lord provided. I was thinking about when David had asked, the husband's name. I just blanked. Is it Nabal, the one that was the evil one? Yeah, Abigail's husband. Thank you. And thank you very much. When David had asked for some provisions, and he said no. David had a need. His men had a need. And the answer was no. But David trusted in the Lord. And the Lord provided for his needs another way. Same family, another way. So sometimes when you are faced with a need in your life, you may have tried one thing and it may have seemed like the answer is no. But let me tell you something this morning. The enemy may try to come against you in one direction, but he has to flee from you in seven. And we know from his story that the Lord took care of Nabal. He was gone. He didn't get to hang around anymore. Who was blessed? The person that rose up in his family and chose to be obedient. Abigail was blessed for the rest of her life. She never lacked anything. She's part of a royal family. So today, if it looks like one thing in the natural, just smile. Just laugh and say, my God promised that he will provide for all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at stories throughout the Bible where the Lord provided. But I feel like today that there are those of you that may feel like you're headed into something this week or something's coming and there's a heaviness about looking forward. Just shake off that heaviness. Shake off that heaviness and you begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And you can have testimonies instead of being terrified. You can have faith instead of being fearful. You walk into this week and you say, no, my trust is in the Lord and he will be faithful. It doesn't say here that he is only going to supply some of your needs. It doesn't say that there are only particular ones and the rest of them don't count. It says all my needs. All my needs. Can someone say amen this morning? All your needs. And sometimes when you look in the natural, it can look completely out of control and crazy. And in a flash, you're like, what just happened? What just happened? And everything's turned around. So don't waste your time worrying and fretting. He's got this. Amen? Amen. Linda, I just feel like your sister and her husband are just in for this massive breakthrough. I know we've already seen some things happening, but I feel like the Lord was reminding me this week that when we had a circumstance with an uncle of mine who could not get out of drugs and alcohol, and when the family took a stand and things happened that didn't look the greatest, within a heartbeat, that flash, his whole life was turned around, and he is still to this day doing well. And that's been 3 years? Almost four. 4 years. And that's what I was believing for this week. I said, Lord, you're no respecters of persons. If you can do it for him, you can do it for David. And that's what we're going to believe and stand on, that this is not just a breakthrough for Sherry and Manuel. It's a breakthrough for David. Amen? That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I believe something powerful is coming. Something powerful. Amen. So my God shall supply all, say all my need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You should be excited. We're going to see a bunch of all in the scripture coming up here. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness, Father, that you supply all our needs. And even before sometimes we even know there's a need, you've already provided for that need. And God, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for a place to meet at so we don't have to be setting up and tearing down all the furniture every week and be in the midst of smells and dust and fumes. Thank you for providing. God, I just praise you and I thank you for blessing the hotel we're going to meet. That, Father, literally from the moment we step into that building, they are going to begin to flourish, that they're going to have such a turnaround even in the people that are coming and staying. Business is just going to boom and that they're going to link that there's going to be someone who loves you in that company that's going to link that and say, wait a minute. We opened our doors to this church, and now look what's happening. And Father, we just thank you for providing for each need as we go forward and even the arrangements of how to do things. And we just praise you, God, that it's an adventure. And when you're on an adventure with the Lord, it all works out, and it's a lot of fun. And we just thank you and we praise you for that attitude, Lord, of this is going to be a fun family adventure as a church. And we just praise you, Lord, for blessing Manor House as they come in. Lord, we just ask that things would supernaturally fall into place much faster than they anticipated, that there would just be a quickness about it, no glitches, no snags, that there would be, they'd be able to get the teachers in quickly, that they'll have their classrooms set up in plenty of time so they don't have to feel stressed or anxious or worried. We just thank you. Peace. These are all of your things, God, that are happening. And we just thank you for peace over the entire thing. In Jesus' name, bless every seed that is sown today. And Father, for our finances where things look impossible, remind us that everything is possible with you. that you are the God who makes possibilities. And we just praise you and we thank you for touching everyone's finances this week. And let there just be blessings that come out of every direction. That we're going to meet next week and everyone's going to be like, whoa, did you have things like just drop in your lap or things that should have cost one thing and didn't and bills that came back paid and bonuses and raises and blessings? And Lord, we're just going to be able to rejoice at all the things that you've done, especially this next week, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Woo.
Right? It's good to be a house of prayer, right? And, you know, if spending 10, 15 minutes praying helps, just think what a half hour would do, right? When several of us in the room pray together, just think what that, you know, that shakes up hell and gives angels assignments and all sorts of wonderful things. Amen? So it's good to do it. But I want to kind of kick something off here that we may not get back to for a few weeks. Next Sunday, I'll be driving home from California. We have a funeral for a cousin of ours. Who went home to be with the Lord this past week. And so, you know, be praying for us and God would just do, you know, comfort people. But, you know, we're excited about what the Lord is doing here at Redeemed Church. And I want to, as far as I know, as the Lord leads, of course, and so on, is I want to go into a few weeks teaching on what the redeemed life is. Amen. And I found this image on Google Images last night, and it jumped out at me because it's the one that we used the first day we opened the doors of the church. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that. That's a cool image, you know. But I'm just excited about what God is doing here at our church. Amen. But we're going to go over this, you know, several different things this morning. It's kind of more of an outline, and then we'll come back to them individually and go over them in more detail, all right? So this is kind of an overview of what we'll be doing over the next couple of months, as far as I know. Amen? So our foundation text, and it's all there in your notes. You can open your Bible to Psalm 107:2. I know it just feels good to flip to it, but I have all the notes there in your Bible for the sake of time right now. But Psalm 107:2 has been our foundation text from the beginning as a church. And it says this, if you have your notes, read it out loud with me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. Amen. And it's a great name for a church, isn't it? Right? And as we were praying and getting the church started and believing God, we went through a lot of different names and we just kind of came to the name Redeemed. And you do searches and nobody else in the state of Washington was using it. And it's like, hey. And then the more we thought about it and prayed about it, it's like, you know what? That is exactly what we want to call ourselves. Amen. So just by saying you're going to Redeem Church, that's saying something, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise the Lord. So in saying so, it means that that there's going to be opportunities for you to share your faith, opportunities for you to share either, you know, on social media or person to person or just by things you do, things you don't do, that you are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? And whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's important to remember that there is an enemy out there, and his plan today is to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? His plan has always been that way. What is he stealing? The word. If he can steal the promises of God out of a believer's heart, then he can stifle them, he can stop them, he can slow them down, he can trip them up, right? And that's his plan, to steal the word so then he can kill. If he can't steal the word, in other words, out of your heart, then he cannot kill or destroy from you. So my job is to do what? Keep the word in my heart in abundance, right? Whatever's in my heart in abundance is what will come out of my mouth, and whatever comes out of my mouth is what, you know, what's going to happen. What I'm saying, what I'm believing is what I'm getting, right? And I love, you know, if you read through Genesis 1, the Bible says, God said, and it was, right? And there's other verses that talk about not a promise that came out of God's mouth did not come to pass, right? Scriptures like that. Not a word that he said did not come to pass. Well, what if we all began living that way? If not a word that I say does not come to pass, I'm going to start watching what I say. Amen? Oh, my knee's killing me. Well, that just kills me. So-and-so got cancer and died. I'll probably get cancer now. No. Somebody say no. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Part of being redeemed means I'm healed, means I have a healer. So I say that. I say, well, yeah, but the doctor said this. Well, praise the Lord for doctors. Doctors will give you facts, but facts will always be subject to the truth. The truth of God's word is eternal. Facts are temporary. Facts are subject to change. Amen? And so this is kind of how, you know, the faith folks talk. There's a way we talk. And I was in a couple of stores yesterday at the beach. And, yeah, just a couple. And they had certain music playing in different stores. And some of them I had to kind of start changing the words to Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. You know, because there's a way they're talking. And you get into the beat and you kind of start listening. It's like, oh, wait a second. I ain't saying that. Don't even really care to hear that. So you just start walking. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Right? You, in the word of faith, when you're a faith person, there's a certain way you talk. And there's a certain way you walk. And there's a certain way you act. And there's certain things you do, certain things you don't do. And you just kind of learn what you're doing is you're becoming a person of God's word. A person of God's word. Because if you're a person of God's word, then the enemy cannot steal from you. If he can't steal the word out of your heart, then he can't come in and kill or destroy in your life. Amen? So that's what our priority one is as the body of Christ. And living the redeemed life is live the word of God. Right? Oh, you're just a faith church. Well, praise God. You should be too. So what's that mean? You're an unbelief church? You're a doubt church? Oh, you're one of them healing churches. What does that mean? You're a sickness church? Oh, you're one of them prosperity churches. So then you're a poverty church? No, right? I'm taking everything Jesus bought for. I'm getting everything Jesus paid for belongs to me. I'm taking it. Somebody spilt their blood for me to be prosperous and healed and free. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to receive it. Amen. That's how we honor God. It honors God for you to be blessed. It honors God for you to be healed. It honors God for you to lay hands on the sick and speak words of faith over people, right? That's why you got to watch what you say, especially when you're going through a challenge in your life. Watch who you share it with, because others will pile on and say, oh yeah, well, I got that too, and this and that, and so-and-so had this and that, and what's God trying to teach you? Man, it's just nonsense, right? It's what God already taught you that will come out when the enemy goes, blah, right? You point your finger at the devil's face and say, no, out. Just like if a dog comes to doo-doo in your yard, right? No. Move along there, Scrappy, right? Hallelujah. Well, the ISV says it this way, Psalm 107:2. Let those who have been redeemed by the Lord declare it. Amen. There ought to be things you're declaring. I declare I'm rich. I declare I'm whole. I declare I'm healed. I declare I'm free. I declare my family is saved. Like Shelley said, and you smile. Sometimes I have to remind myself to smile and laugh and be joyful, because you don't always feel like smiling and laughing and being joyful, right? So you do it. That's what the redeemed do, right? We bring the joy. We bring the love. We bring the faith. Hallelujah. To some it will be light, right? Light like, wow, I needed to see that. To others it will be offensive. Like, get that light out of my eyes. That just bothers me, right? Well, praise the Lord. I'm just going to be who I am in God. Amen. Let those who have been redeemed by the Lord declare it, those whom he redeemed from the power of the enemy. The enemy has no power over me unless I give it to him. And I remember Brother Copeland speaking this week about strongholds. You know, sometimes things get a hold in our life, whether it's in our attitude or behavior or words or conduct. And he said this, and I'd never heard this said before, but it makes a lot of sense. He said, you have to get a stronger hold of this than that stronghold has on you. And I thought, that is so good, man. I have to get a strong hold of the Word of God, so then there will be no strongholds in my life. Amen. That's what the redeemed do, right? We get a stronghold of God's Word. Pastor George has been preaching this past couple weeks on having bulldog faith. A bulldog bites down on something and will not let go of it. And that's what faith people do. They get a hold of the Word of God and they believe it no matter what it looks like, no matter what so-and-so says or believes or how I feel, I'm not letting go because that promise belongs to me. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a bulldog in faith. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. You try to get a bone out of a bulldog's mouth, it's going to be tug of war forever, right? It's not going to let go. Why? Because it says, mine. So you see a promise in the Word of God, you say, mine. I see healing or prosperity or deliverance or joy in the Word, I say, mine. Nobody's taking this from me. Hallelujah, right? And then the NLT says it this way, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Amen. I remember in sales training, there was a guy that we had on our sales team for a while, and he had like these things that he was always in the habit of doing. And he was a good guy. But he'd say, you know what? If I'm within 10 feet of a car, then I can read, you know, an advertisement, a phone number, I'm calling it to tell them what we do. Talk to them about what we do. If, you know, he had these things that he was in the habit of doing. And I just kind of been thinking in the habit of that way too. If I'm within earshot of somebody talking about they have cancer, like yesterday in Van Heusen at Lincoln City, and the sales associate is talking to somebody about he's having chemo and all these things, we're going to have a conversation before I leave the store. Why? Because the devil just stepped on my toe and I'm not leaving here without giving a word to somebody, right? So I'm buying something at the end and he's the one cashing me out. And I said, just want you to know, I'm praying that God completely heal your body of that. I heard what you were sharing with that guy. And he said, oh, thank you. You know, amen. What are you doing? You're saying so. You're saying something. You're bringing hope. You're pointing somebody to the healer. You're not bragging about yourself. You're just saying, you know what? There is a healer, and I'm going to pray for you to be well. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Right? I had a guy tell me once, you know, that old thing of, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Well, praise God. Use words when necessary. Well, I was having a conversation with somebody. He said that, and I said, well, guess what, brother? Words are necessary. Words are, yes, you need to see it, but sometimes I don't have a month to display to you. Sometimes I just need to tell you, hey, listen, his name is Jesus. You don't have to look him up in the yellow pages. You just talk to him. He'll heal you of this. I'll pray that he heals you of this. It's interesting. This week there were so many needs that came through. Stuff that just was coming at me. And it's like the Lord was saying, you know what? I'm sending more needs to you because there's faith that people need. Right? So I'm texting people, praying for your healing, praying for this, praying for that. I know God's touching you. We're praying for you as a church. What are you doing? You're saying something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Well, Colossians 1, 12 and 13 in your notes here says it this way. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This is Old King James, so it sounds kind of like pirates talking, you know. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. But I liked this word. And hath translated us. Somebody say, I've been translated, right? Into the kingdom of his dear son. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. That's called being redeemed. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of Jesus. Is there any sickness in the kingdom of Jesus today? Is anybody poor? Right? Amen. No. Right? You've been delivered from that. It's Brother Copeland said it this way. When you've been redeemed, it doesn't only mean I've been redeemed from something. You've also been redeemed to something. Right? You have a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And my Bible says, pray his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just ask yourself, how's it in heaven today? Well, then pray that. Believe that. Well, it doesn't seem possible. Since when are you supposed to be praying things that are possible? Amen? I heard Pastor Greg this morning in my Faith Foundations class. He said, you know the story when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out there, right? And Jesus says what? Come on. And he said, I'll tell you this. He said, I would tell you this. That was an invitation to the whole boat, not just Peter. Every one of those guys could have gotten out and walked on the water. He didn't say, Peter, this is just for you. Everyone else put on life vests and stay in the middle of the boat. No, he said, come, right? And he's calling you and me to come out on faith. Do something that the world says is impossible. Believe God for something that everybody says that won't happen. I'll tell you what, there's no need to pray if what you're believing for is possible and you can do it, right? But when we're believers living the redeemed life, we're people of faith. We're believing God for stuff that the world would say is impossible. Opening blinded eyes, healing of diseases, prospering people, seeing people come to Jesus, seeing a church come together, amen? These things seem impossible by the Lord. A lot of people would say, I've had people tell me this before, nobody goes to church in the Northwest. What are you wasting your time for? Well, I'm called to do this, for one thing. When you're called to do something, when the Lord puts a desire in your heart and a purpose in your heart, you don't spend time making a list of all the reasons why it can't happen. You just step out and do it, amen? You just take a step of faith, and Jesus will meet you there. Hallelujah. But I want to spend some messages in the near future on these next few points here. The redeemed life is. Somebody say, the redeemed life is. And this is really something I felt stirred to do on Wednesday nights for a while, and the Wednesday night thing just didn't come together. So I kind of put it on the back burner. And it's like, you know, when we're going to be meeting more like in a hotel conference room over the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. And I thought, man, this would be more like a home group, a classroom type thing. So this is kind of the overview sermon of this, the overview message. But these next 4 points we're going to come back to in more of a classroom setting, as far as I know, and just go over them in more detail. And it's kind of the, I don't know, if we had a Redeemed Church orientation or a welcome to the redeemed life. These are some good points for people to know when they're coming to Jesus, when they're coming to Redeemed Church. What is it I'm getting into here? Amen? These are some good points to remember. Amen? And these aren't the only points, of the only upsides of living the redeemed life, but these ones jumped out at me. Okay, so the redeemed life is, first and foremost, the forgiven life. Somebody say, the redeemed life is the forgiven life. Yeah. Say this out loud. Because of Jesus' blood, my sins are forgiven. Now that's good news, isn't it? Amen? So the redeemed life is the forgiven life. Romans 4, 7a says this, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. Amen. Somebody say, that's me. I'm forgiven. That's a great thing about living the redeemed life, isn't it? We've been forgiven of our sins. Whether it's something you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, yesterday, right? You bring it to Jesus. You get washed and cleansed of that thing. The redeemed life is the forgiven life. And kind of the double-edged sword of this is since I've been forgiven, it means I walk in forgiveness toward other people. Amen? I've been forgiven, and so therefore I forgive. Somebody say, I forgive. Don't you know you're not going to get an inch further with God if you don't forgive people? And this is rampant in the body of Christ. People getting offended at pastors and other people in the body of Christ. I'll share a word that I believe the Lord gave to me on the camping trip in days to come. But it's a word that a strong word that the Lord gave me, and it was basically, son, you know why miracles aren't flowing in my body right now? Everything that belongs to my body, what's holding it back is this thing called strife and discord and division, the lack of people walking in love toward each other. And he said, I don't want you to confuse unity for agreement, right? Just stop backstabbing each other, stop walking in strife, stop tearing each other down, and we'll see the miracles of God flow. The blessings of God will be unleashed, right? But that kind of stuff is a lot of what's holding back, you know? Amen? There were places where Jesus himself went, and not everyone could get healed because of unbelief and all these things going on, right? So, amen. So somebody say the redeemed life is the forgiven life. Amen. So if we're walking in love toward one another, we know we've been forgiven. It's kind of the shape of the cross, right? Toward God and toward people. Then that opens the door for other folks to be saved, for other folks to come in and get born again, for other folks to get their miracles. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the redeemed life. The next thing will be the redeemed life is the full life. Somebody say the redeemed life is the full life. Now say this, Jesus baptizes me with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't, you know, after you get saved and get born again, there's more, right? Jesus came to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. That means he immersed me in his Holy Ghost, evidence of praying in tongues, prayer language, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You heard us praying in tongues, you know, during our prayer time. You can be praying in tongues too, many of you do. And maybe all of you do. That's between you and the Lord. But you can. It's something that's for you. Jesus came to fill you up with his Spirit. Amen? So the redeemed life is the full life, meaning full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Matthew 3:11 says it this way. He will baptize you, somebody say me, with the Holy Spirit and fire. Man, there ought to be some fire on the inside of us, right? There ought to be some fire on the inside of you. You hear a bad report, something the devil's trying to do with somebody's life, some fire ought to come out of you. Not at the person, at the devil, right? The Holy Ghost and fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for a select few. It's for everybody who will believe. Amen? So the redeemed life is the full life. The next one, the redeemed life is the free life. Say that out loud. The redeemed life is the free life. Right? Now say this. Jesus sets me free from the curse. Amen. Jesus sets me free from the curse. What is the curse? Everything bad. Deuteronomy 28 goes through it in some detail. Right? But every sickness, every disease, every virus, poverty, depression, sorrow, grief, strife, all these things are of the curse. Amen? There's no such thing as a vow of poverty before God, right? Or a vow of sickness before God. Well, Jesus suffered. Religion would say, therefore, you're going to suffer. Jesus bore his cross. Therefore, you're going to bear. Just embrace the suffering. Lies. Jesus suffered for me. The suffering that you and I do is called resisting the devil. Resisting everything Jesus died for on the cross. Resisting sin, resisting sicknesses, resisting poverties, resisting the devil, right? Submitting ourselves to God. That's called living the free life. the free life. Amen? John 8:36 says it this way, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Somebody say, I'm free. See, these are great confessions to be making over yourself every day. I'm forgiven, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm free today. In other words, I'm redeemed. Amen? So, the next one, finally here as we wrap it up for the day, the redeemed life is the faithful life. Somebody say that. The redeemed life is the faithful life. Now say this. Jesus is my first love. That means he's first, right? It means he is first and final authority in my life. It's amazing how many people I've known over the years that get saved, get forgiven, get full of the Holy Ghost, get some freedom going in their life, and then they forget to come to church anymore. What's happening? They weren't faithful. Right? So the redeemed life, you have to have faithfulness, right? In other words, God forgave me. He set me free of my sins. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I got free. I got some blessing moving. Now I'm too busy to be in church anymore because I got to work more. I got to do all these other things. And pretty soon the people are wanting to float around to different churches, you know. Jerry Seville says a lot of the charismatics should be called cruismatics because they just bounce around all over, you know. I mean, we got to be in the right church God has called us to be in. But once you're there, man, be faithful. Be faithful. Somebody say, I'm faithful. Right? Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Jesus is looking for faithfulness. He set me free. He forgave me. He healed me. He gave me my freedom. Now I'm going to serve him. With all my might, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to lay my life down for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not going to be a flaky Christian. Right? Say that loud. I am not a flaky Christian. I am a faithful Christian. Yeah. Yes. Faithfulness. So the redeemed life is the faithful life. Jesus is my first love. Jesus is my first love. I am faithful. I'm a faithful member of the body of Christ. This means I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to be where he wants me to be. I'm going to go where he wants me to go, right? I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ. Well, I don't need to be in church anymore. I worship on the river. Well, you don't have to worship on the river on Sunday morning, right? The river will still be there, and you'll catch more fish if you put God first. Amen, right? Well, I'm not under the law. I had one guy tell me once in the past couple of years, you know, telling about the church and everything we're doing. He's like, well, you know, Jesus never went to church. He was always out in the mountains and in the wilderness. And it's like, if something didn't sound right about that, and you go to the Word and you find out, it also says he was in the temple regularly, as was his custom. Right? So yeah, he was out. He was a traveling ministry, no question. But he also was in the temple regularly, teaching and preaching, and you know, amen. So somebody say faithful, faithful. The redeemed life is the faithful life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these words today, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your peace and your blessing on everybody today. We thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us, that we're forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that you baptized us in the Holy Ghost and filled us up with your Holy Ghost, that you set us free, Lord Jesus, to serve you in every area of our life, and that we are faithful to you, Lord, staying in love with Jesus. Staying in love with the one who set us free, with the one who forgave us, the one who filled us with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we will walk in love toward you and toward one another and toward the entire body of Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody say amen.